talking about the Holy Spirit, I was just kind of overwhelmed there in the worship time. It was awesome. Just really great, great. Just worshiping with you guys and experiencing God together. That's the goal when we come in here together, is we want to experience God together in this sense of community. Well, the series is supernatural. Today we're going to talk about my favorite topic, and that's the Holy Spirit. What you think about the Holy Spirit a lot is shaped by the way that you grew up. And I know this is such a broad topic today. I struggled a lot this week. I know I had many of you praying for me specifically, because honestly, talking about the Holy Spirit in 30 minutes is like telling you everything about Jesus in 30 minutes. It's just not possible. So I was struggling trying to figure out, you know, what to say, because I know that we also come from so many different backgrounds here at River Run. We have people, you know, that are new believers who, you know, you didn't have any church background growing up, and so this Holy Spirit thing's new, but you just know you want more of God in your life, and you don't know what that looks like exactly, and I'm going to talk about that some today. And then we have some that grew up in a very charismatic church, and you experienced the displays of the Holy Spirit in ways that many people haven't, and you know. And there's some of you that grew up in a church like mine who, you know, we didn't talk a whole lot about the Holy Spirit, and then we have some people in here that, you know, you've never crossed the line of faith. You've never put your faith and hope in Jesus Christ before. And what we talk about on the Holy Spirit, you're just going to think I'm bonkers today, you know. But I hope that you see today the life and the peace, the joy and the hope, the change that can happen when you allow God to do this kind of work in your life and you see him work in your life. But my goal by the end of our time together in this 30 minutes is to challenge some of your thinking regarding the Holy Spirit. And if it causes you to go home from here and dive into God's Word and begin to explore the Holy Spirit's work in your life and to seek out more of God and the Holy Spirit, then I feel like that's a win. But if for some reason I sow some seed of disunity in our church over the Holy Spirit of all things, then I have failed miserably. And my prayer is that you will take these words and that you'll go on your own and that you will begin a journey like you never have before, pressing in, leaning into God and the Holy Spirit and how he works in your heart and in your life. I grew up in a church. I'll give you a little background about me, because maybe some of you can relate to me. Some of you won't be able to relate to me, but some of you can. I grew up in a church in Central Kentucky. We loved people really, really well, and we had a great community. I'm still close to them today in the church that we had growing up. And we talked a lot. In our church, we talked a lot about God. We talked a lot about Jesus Christ. But I can't tell you one time that we talked about the Holy Spirit. I mean, we talked about the Holy Spirit in reference to Scripture. We would read the Scriptures, and we baptized people for the forgiveness of sins and for the gift of the Holy Spirit. But we never went any further with that. We never put any emphasis on the Holy Spirit and what that can mean to the life of the believer and the gift of the Holy Spirit and what that means and how he can function in your life. I even went to 4 years of Bible college, and I can't tell you a single lecture or a single class or a single time that we really explored what that meant about the Holy Spirit. And I think, I've really spent a lot of time thinking about this, and I think one of the reasons is because we saw churches, we saw pastors who were more interested in the sensationalism of the outward expressions of God, or what we would call the manifestations of God. They were more concerned about the sensationalism in a way that so much seemed inauthentic. It seemed inauthentic in a way that caused us, me, our church, and even certain denominations to just kind of go the other way completely, and we kind of went a cerebral approach to God without relying on the beauty of the Holy Spirit. And so we took this completely cerebral approach. Now there's two challenges I think that we face, especially when we have a body of believers as diverse as we have here at River Run, which I love. I love the fact that we are so diverse in our backgrounds and in our beliefs, and we all come together and we center around Jesus. But I think there's two challenges. One, I think it's just very clear that there are some churches, there are some circles of people that have taken this amazing gift of the Holy Spirit and they have put it on display in a way that just isn't real. However, I think the other challenge is, over the years, people like me who saw some of those things that we thought maybe were inauthentic or not real, and maybe bad theology, and we threw out the good and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the truth is, the Holy Spirit is absolutely critical in our lives as a believer of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is real. And sometimes the Holy Spirit does things that are outside of what we would call normal. These are sometimes miraculous, supernatural displays of the Holy Spirit. Now, I was an unbeliever in some of those expressions of God until I experienced them firsthand. My name is Thomas. My first name is Thomas. And so I've said this before. I'm a doubter by nature. I'm a skeptic. I don't have a sensationalist bone in my body. But I've had some experiences over the last few years in my life that have caused me to push pause on some of the ways that I grew up and my upbringing and in my own theology. And after I experienced some unusual things that aren't normal, some things that I can't explain, some things that I never experienced growing up, some things that would be like the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the whole Word of God just began to come out in Scripture in ways that I'd never experienced before. Like when I would read about the Holy Spirit, I've read the whole Bible before, but then when I read after experiencing the Holy Spirit, I would read things where the Holy Spirit would just jump out of the Scriptures in creative and amazing ways. Ways that my mind, I like, have I ever read this before kind of experiences? Have you ever had that where you've read this same passage of Scripture for years and years and years and years and years, and all of a sudden you read something new, God's done something new in your life, and you read something, you go, wow, I feel like I've never even read this before. That's the way it can be. That's the way it can be with you when you experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your lives. So what I want to do is I want to just kind of look at some things about the Holy Spirit. This is, again, a pretty basic overview of what we're going to talk about, and then I want your personal study. I just want to really challenge you to lean into this and study this like you never have before. But the first question I want to ask today is, what is the Holy Spirit? And actually, a better question is, who is the Holy Spirit? To answer that, I want to tell you about a couple things that the Holy Spirit is not. The Holy Spirit is not just the force of God. That's important for us to know, and it's important for us to understand that the Holy Spirit is not just the power of God. It's way more than that. In fact, it's not an it at all. He's a he. The Holy Spirit is a he. The Holy Spirit is God. The Bible teaches all over the pages that the Holy Spirit is part of the third part of the Godhead, the Trinity. We talked about this in the Believe series. If you have only been journeying with us for a little while at River Run, I encourage you to go back on our website. You can go back and you can check out the Believe series. And I go into a lot of detail. I spent one whole message on this, where there's that God exists in three parts. There's God the Father, there's God in the flesh in Jesus Christ, and there's the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Godhead. But he's distinct. He's a distinct part. He's a person, and the Bible refers to him as he. And here's what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John. So Jesus' best earthly friend writes about all of his encounters with Jesus, and this is what Jesus says. He says, "And I will ask the Father." So Jesus in the flesh, God in the flesh, is asking his Father, God the Godhead. He says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor," a third part, capital C there, one of the names of the Holy Spirit, "to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot see him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him," Jesus is saying to his disciples. Jesus is saying to us, if you've put your hope and your trust and faith in Jesus Christ, you know him. For he lives with you and lives inside of you, will be in you. The Holy Spirit is separate from Jesus, separate from God. But yet they are one. They are connected. We call that the Trinity. But what I want you to see is this, and this is that the Holy Spirit is a distinct person of God in your life. I used to think, maybe you did, I used to think when I was growing up, man, it'd be so much easier to have faith if I could walk with Jesus like the disciples walked with Jesus. Did anybody ever think that? If I could have just walked with Jesus, if I could have saw the miracles that Jesus did, If I could have saw him cast the demons out of people, if I could have seen him turn the water into wine or raise Lazarus from the dead, if I could have just seen those, if I could have walked with him and talked with him, if I could have experienced Jesus like that, man, my faith would be so much stronger. And what I've come to realize over the years is that you absolutely can. The good news is that you can. And I was thinking, you know, what could be better than having Jesus with us on earth? That must have been what the disciples were thinking. When Jesus was talking to the disciples, he was preparing their hearts. He said, I'm going to go away. I'm getting ready to leave earth. I'm going to go back up into heaven. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to go through some anguish. I'm going to sacrifice on the cross. They didn't understand any of this. And he says, it's actually better for me. It's best for you if I go. And I'm sure the disciples were thinking, what could possibly be better? What could possibly be better than Jesus walking here, talking with us, our best friend that we spent 3 years with, 8-10 hours a day or more. They practically lived together. They traveled together. What could possibly be better for us if he goes away? So the disciples were confused. I mean, we would be, right? But in his teaching, he comforts them and he talks to them. And he tells them this in John chapter 16. It's actually best for you, Jesus says. It's best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the counselor, that's the name for the Holy Spirit, won't come. If I do go away, he will come because I will send him to you. So the counselor is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, this is not going to be like me walking with you and talking with you for 8-10 hours a day, and then we sleep. I will be with you. I will be with you always, every single day, every hour. The Holy Spirit, the other person of us, Jesus says, will be with you all the time. He will guide you. He will direct you. He will be with you. But not only will he be with you, he will take up residence inside of you. Think about that, church. Man. That the same power that raised Lazarus from the dead, the same power that spoke. You know, Jupiter, you're going to be able to see Jupiter tomorrow night. On Monday night at midnight, you'll see Jupiter. If it's not cloudy, you can see Jupiter. The clearest, it's the closest it'll be, and you can see with binoculars, you'll be able to see its four moons. It's pretty interesting. I'm going to do that. I'm going to get up tomorrow night and watch that and look at that. The same God that hung Jupiter in space with four moons that go around it, that orbits perfectly, is the same God, and the Spirit that hovered over the waters of creation is the same Spirit that's alive inside of you as a believer. Think about that. What that means. Here's what it says in Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. But you, talking about those who are followers of Christ, who have been infilled with the Holy Spirit, okay? But you are not controlled by your sinful nature, no. You are controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ in them do not belong to him at all. So, for those of you who have not crossed over the line of faith, you don't have the Holy Spirit in you. You don't. We'll talk about how you can do that in a little bit, and we'll talk about what that means, and that the Holy Spirit, the work that he is doing in your life, though. Paul goes on to say, and Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. And this is Romans 8:11. I love this passage so much. I'm thinking about getting a new tattoo with this verse. Romans 8:11. Here's what it says. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead. Think about that. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, he will give life to our mortal bodies by this same Spirit living inside of us. Man, that's powerful. That is powerful. And if the Holy Spirit lives in you, what does he do then in our lives? I want to look at that for a few minutes. I don't want to rush that thought though, just for a second. I just want that to sink in. the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in you, and the same Spirit that will raise your mortal bodies. So yes, we will die physically. We will die physically, but God living inside us will resurrect us the same as he resurrected Jesus. And that's the Holy Spirit's power alive and well in your life. But he does more. He does more than just resurrect our body for salvation. He does more. He gives us a taste of heaven even on earth. If the Holy Spirit lives in you, he gives you the power of God and the love of Christ in you. I want to look at some specifics. I want to look at some roles of the Holy Spirit for a few minutes. Now, I could spend 3 months. There's at least 12 central roles of the Holy Spirit, and there's about 70 others. I could spend 3 months, if not a year, just talking about the roles of the Holy Spirit and still not cover everything that the Holy Spirit does. But I want to grab four or five, depending on our time today, I want to grab four or five of these roles of the Holy Spirit that I think are absolutely critical for us to understand these pieces. And the first one is this. The Holy Spirit gives you the power of salvation. The Holy Spirit gives you the power of salvation. Now, especially if you're someone in the room right here today and you have not, you're just exploring Christianity, someone invited you here today, you're not sure exactly what you believe, you don't know what you believe about Jesus, you've never professed your faith in him, you've never given your life over to Jesus Christ, I want to tell you that when the Holy Spirit gives you the power of salvation, the Holy Spirit begins to do a work and prompting in your heart to bring you to Jesus. To bring you to Jesus. If you haven't accepted Christ yet in your life, there may be this tugging in your heart that says, I need to make this decision. That's the Holy Spirit tugging on you and working on you in your life. But you're not filled with the Holy Spirit yet. He's just working on you, drawing you to Jesus. It's Jesus who saves us by the finished work on the cross through grace and us putting our faith in him. The Holy Spirit draws you to Jesus. So if you're someone today and you're exploring God and you feel a tugging on your heart, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit doing his work in your heart to draw you close to Jesus. And when you accept him, when you put your hope and when you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you have full access to this power of God and the love of Jesus in your life. You have full access to this kind of life of fulfillment, of peace, of hope, of joy. But you must be born again. You must be born again. You've heard that phrase maybe before. Sounds like a churchy phrase. Well, are you born again? Yeah, you need to be born again in order to receive the Holy Spirit, in order to be saved. This is what Jesus says. This is where this term comes from, born again. There was a man named Nicodemus. He was actually a religious Pharisee. He was a religious guy, but he had never put his trust and hope in Jesus as the Messiah, as the coming Savior. And then after hearing Jesus and seeing Jesus and seeing his miracles and hearing his teachings, the Holy Spirit began to draw Nicodemus to Jesus. And Nicodemus began to question Jesus about what this life looks like and what does it mean, him coming as the Messiah. And Jesus replies, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. He goes, and so Nicodemus goes on. He says, so what do you mean? What do you mean, exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, I'm telling you the truth here, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. And in the scripture, it says that when a person believes, they confess their sins. They turn their heart and their life over to Jesus Christ. They repent. And they're baptized. They're buried with Christ. They're baptized in their old life. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead raises you up out of the baptistry. And you have new life. It's a new you, and God begins do a new work in you. And the Holy Spirit begins to infill you in your life. By the way, the water's warm today. The second thing is, the Holy Spirit gives you the power to walk in God's will. for your life. It gives you the power to walk in God's will. When you begin to live by and with the Holy Spirit in your life, you will begin to listen to the Holy Spirit. He will instruct you. Your prayer life will even be different. You won't spend all your time just speaking to God. You'll be listening to God. You'll be listening for the Holy Spirit. He will instruct you. He will speak to you. It probably won't be an audible voice, but it'll be a prompting. And he always speaks to you through the Word of God as well. Here's what Jesus says in John chapter 14. But the Counselor, who is that again? The Holy Spirit. Whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. He will remind you of everything I have said to you. And when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Years ago, I've never told you this story before, but years ago, I was on a live TV show. It was called Directions. Don't Google it. You won't find it. I've already tried. So this is years ago. This is before DVRs, and thank goodness it was before DVRs and streaming and all that kind of stuff, YouTube. But I was asked to be on this live show, Directions. I've never told you this story before because it was a colossal failure of mine. It was a disaster on this show. And I had called all my friends and I'd called all my family and said, you know, the show's going to be on here. I'm going to be on TV. I'm going to be a star, you know. And man, oh, it was just terrible. Did you guys ever see the movie What About Bob? Yeah. So when Richard Dreyfuss is being interviewed by Good Morning America and he just biffs the whole thing, you know, and he's just can't get a clear thought out at all. And then his psychotic guy, Bill Murray, comes in and rescues the day. That was me in this TV show. It was just horrible. I mean, Michelle and I were laughing about it again the other day. And I was just thinking about this illustration. But one of the things that was great about that is that, and I'd never done this before, they put a little thing in your ear, you know, to talk to you. The producer's talking to you, and he was like, hey, Mitch, okay, so we got about 5 minutes. So if you need to go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom, whatever. If you need to get a drink of water, get a drink of water. Hey, all right, we got about 3 minutes now. I want you to start sitting up straight. Hey, fix your collar on your shirt, you know. And I want you to make sure that you're smiling. Smile all the time, you know, do all this kind of stuff. And then as we got closer and closer, you go, all right, you got 1 minute. So pull yourself together, gather your thoughts and everything. Okay, we got 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You're live. I'm like, you know, it was terrible. And I was like, he would ask me a question I had nothing to do with what he had asked me. It was terrible. That's certainly not a perfect illustration. But when you live a life allowing the Holy Spirit to lead in our lives, he will give us promptings to follow him. Sometimes it's the still small voice that you hear, and other times it's the Word of God that he brings to mind. Man, I think about that. I see Ray Vann over there. He's really encouraged me over the years that when I hear the prompting of God and the Holy Spirit to act on it, even when it seems strange. And so I don't have time to tell you these stories today, but there have been so many stories since I have been following that advice over the last 10 years or whatever it's been, he's been encouraging me on that. So many stories about where I'm going, yes, that was of God, and it was a supernatural following and prompting of the Holy Spirit. All right, the third thing, the Holy Spirit gives you the power to share Christ boldly. He gives you the power to share Christ boldly. One of the commands that God gives us is to share his message with those around us. And when you live by the Spirit, he will give you the strength and he'll give you the courage to share the love of Christ with those around you. You might be nervous about it. You might be scared. You might think that this person will never receive the message of Christ. And so it can be tempting to resist the Holy Spirit, to not follow that opportunity that God has given you to share Christ's love. You may think you're not qualified. You may think you might not know enough. You may not think you might get something wrong. But don't resist the Holy Spirit's urge to share the love of Christ with others, because he will give you the words to say. And here's the thing. It's not about you. It's not about you. He will give you the words to say. It's not you doing the work and sharing. It's the Holy Spirit doing the work in you. There have been times There have been times in some weekends when I speak and I walk away from here and I walk away from this stage and I feel like a colossal failure. I start looking at job opportunities at McDonald's, you know, or whatever. And invariably, I'll have somebody come up and say, I feel like you are speaking directly to me this morning. I've never heard the word of God more truthful way the way you spoke to me. And I'm like, did you hear the same words that came out of my mouth? Because I think I was about as clear as mud puddle, you know, like, you know, and that's the way God can be in your life. When you start obeying God and you start sharing your story of what Jesus has done in your life, the Holy Spirit shows up and gives you words to say. He will even bring up a passage of scripture or two that you didn't even know that you knew. So I'm going to give you a challenge this week. Step out in faith this week. Allow the Holy Spirit to work and lead you and share your story. Share your story. It doesn't have to be perfect. We talk about this in Rooted. This is what my life was like before I met Jesus. This is how I met Jesus, and this is how he's changed my life. It's that simple. And then let the Holy Spirit do his work. It's absolutely amazing. The Apostle Paul was not a great orator. Sometimes we think of him as this fantastic speaker like Charlton Heston or something. He was not a great orator. He wasn't clever. He wasn't funny. He didn't try to manipulate people into following Jesus. He just told the story about what Jesus had done supernaturally, miraculously in his life. He says this. He says, my message and my preaching, this Paul, my message and my preaching are not wise. I didn't have a lot of wisdom here. I didn't have persuasive words. I wasn't funny or anything like that. But with demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. And there's a whole lot more we could say about the demonstration of the Spirit of God. That's one of the reasons that we pray so boldly for healing for people in our church. But go out with the power of the Holy Spirit and be bold and share your faith with other people. The fourth thing is the Holy Spirit gives you the power to live a holy life. When you live a life being led by the Holy Spirit, you have the assurance and you have the power of your salvation. You have the courage to share the love of Christ boldly. He will guide you to follow his will, and he will give you the power to live a holy life. This is what Romans says in chapter 8. Those who are dominated by sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and there is peace. There's peace. The fifth thing, the Holy Spirit gives you the power to make a difference with spiritual gifts. Gives you the power to make a difference in spiritual gifts. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you are given a gift from God. Now, this is not a natural gift. Some of you were born with the gift of sports. You know, you have just amazing hand-eye coordination. You know how to do, you know, sports. And some of you have the gift of, you know, engineering. You just know how things work. God's given you the ability to just figure things out. You know how to problem solve as an engineer. Those are natural gifts. Some of you know how to cook. You just kind of were born knowing how to cook, you know. There's some natural gifts that we have. But with the Holy Spirit, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you are given a supernatural gift by God of his choosing. And every single one of us has at least one gift, and many have many more. And our gifts can change, even as the Holy Spirit sees necessary or deems necessary in the life and the work of other people. This is what Paul says. He says, and God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chose. And all these gifts make up the body of Christ. That's why it's absolutely so important that you operate in your gift within the body of our church, because we need you. God needs you. We need you because there's a hole in the body when you're not exercising, when you're not using your gift. And one of the reasons I love our staff is because they are so strong in areas where I'm weak. You know, I don't have all these gifts. They are really strong in the areas I'm weak. For instance, I'm not the most, you know, when it came to the gift of mercy, God left me off the list. You know, I'm not, that's not my strongest area. That's why people don't usually come to me for counseling, because I'm just like, you did what? That was stupid. You know, that's just not usually my gift. But, and I could sure grow in the area of mercy and encouragement. But man, I don't know anybody that's better at that than Tina Quintana, right? I mean, when you think about that, you know, Tina, you think about it, she's not even here today. You know, she's traveling. But man, she's awesome in that. I have an area of two where I'm gifted, but, you know, administration's not one of those. I'm like not a detail person, you know. When I think of administration, I think about people that are process-oriented, detailed-oriented, like Shauna and Mindy Walton, you know. They're like, I'll lay out this thing that we need to do. And they're like, no, did you think about this? No. Did you think about that? No. Did you think about, no, I didn't need, none of those things, you know. Because that we need each other, you know. And so they have like this supernatural gift in those areas. I can't teach. Honestly, I can't teach like Caleb or Tyler. I mean, those guys have been given an amazing gift of digesting God's word. But here's the thing. It's that way for every single one of us in this room who've accepted Jesus, put your trust in Jesus. He's given you a gift from the Holy Spirit. And a spiritual gift, Paul talks about this to the Corinthian church. Remember, the Corinthian church was a mess. They were having so many problems. They were getting so many things wrong. And he talks to the Corinthian church. He says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. Of helping the entire church. And if you want to know, like you should write this down. If you want to know more about the Holy Spirit, you should explore Romans chapter 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. That's what you should spend some time on this week. Every single one of us has at least one gift. You can have many, but everyone has at least one. There's like the gift of encouragement, gift of administration, gift of serving, gift of hospitality, gift of teaching, gift of mercy, gift of leadership, gift of prophecy. You see things before they happen. You're able to explain those to people. Gift of speaking in different tongues, gift of interpreting tongues, the gift of discernment, the gift of generosity. Here's what I'd love. Here's what I'd love for us. As we move forward as our church, and I'm so excited about where we're at, and I want to explore and lean in to even more of the Holy Spirit, even more than what I just barely scratched the surface on today. But here's what I want. Because God has been challenging me on this more and more and more. Listen, I want nothing more for us to be a large growing church, but not for the same reason that you think probably, or that many people might think. Not so that we can just be this large numbers-based church, but so that we have people right now who don't have the peace, they don't have the shalom, they're outside of knowing Jesus Christ. They need to experience Him. And I feel like where God's been challenging me as a pastor is that I feel like in so many of our churches right now, it has been this Christian gathering of self-help entertainment. That's what God's been pressing on my heart. And whoever has whichever church has the best programs, the ones that are drawing people who are Christians from other churches to go to their church and this church and that church, while we have a whole community of people who are lost without Jesus, who don't have the peace and experience and the joy of knowing what it's like to live with the Holy Spirit inside of them. I just thought, what would it look like? And can you imagine? Can you imagine being a church where every single one of us, we're leaning into the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God in our life, and displaying the love of Jesus by using the gifts that He has given us, and that we share boldly with those people who are outside of Jesus Christ and help them to know what Jesus Christ can do and how He can change their life, and the Holy Spirit will begin to do His work. I want to encourage you on that. As we wrap up today, I want to talk to you, though, just for a second, for those people who have never crossed the line of faith. I just want to invite you. Do you want to put your trust and hope in Jesus? If you do, I would love to pray with you over here. We're going to have some folks at the crosses here. I'd love to pray with you. Jerry and Ethel will be over here. Ray and Peggy will be over here. We'd love to pray with you guys if you would like to make a decision for Jesus Christ. If you'd like to be baptized today, we'll do it today. If you'd like to do it after the service, we'll do it after the service. You want to do it in the service, we'll do it in the service. I'd also like to extend to you this, that if you've never received the Holy Spirit in your heart and in your life, you'd like to pray to receive the Holy Spirit this morning. I'd invite you to come to the crosses, and we'd love to pray with you and invite the Holy Spirit to come and take up residence inside of you and inside of your heart. So during this time, there'll be several things happening. You can come to the crosses and pray. You can go to the tables, which are on the side today. And you can go to the tables, and you can go as individuals or as families to remember the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. Take the bread, take the juice, go off into a corner somewhere with your family, pray. Or you can stay right where you're at in your seat, and you can process this. You can just listen to God, see what God is having for you this morning. But would you stand with me? And I want to pray over us, and then we'll do some movement here, okay? Heavenly Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would do what only you can do right now in this moment. Do what only you can do in this moment.